The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, this is the Bears Coaches Show with Bears head coach John Fox, the coaching staff and Bears management. The Bears Coaches Show is brought to you by Comcast, North Shore University Health System, PNC, and Miller Lite. Now, from Hallis Hall, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
And a pleasant good evening, everybody, and welcome into the PNC studios here at Hallis Hall. Jeff Joniak, along with the head coach John Fox, we're with you until 7:30 tonight. Recapping a hard-fought loss in Indy to the Colts and getting ready for the Jacksonville Jaguars next Sunday at Soldier Field. Good evening. How you doing?
Doing all right. That loss stings, but, there were some good developments and I think ones we can learn from.
I said this last night on Bears Game Night Live on Fox. I was asked about it, how frustrating it all is, but in my opinion, better to be in it with a chance to win it on the final drive than not to have that opportunity at all, because whether people want to hear it or not, and I know it's 1-4 and it doesn't feel good, but every situation like that, this young team is learning from somehow, some way that will benefit you at some point.
Well, no doubt. I think, all those are learning experiences, and albeit some of them are hard to take, I think we're getting better for it slowly but surely.
Yeah, despite that loss, I mean, there's a lot of good things to talk about, and I'm sure you had something similar to tell your team today. It's not just that L. I know that's the part that people want to focus on, and certainly that's what we're trying to do here is win, but there are signs of progress all over the place. Can you pinpoint some?
Yeah, I think you look at Cam Meredith stepping in, for the Kevin White injury. I think he had a good outing, albeit he played good for 63 plays. That 64th play, the fumble obviously stings a bit. Put 3 points on the board and made us need to have a touchdown to go down and win the game. And unfortunately, that came up short. You look at Jordan Howard. He had a good day, had some explosive runs. I think he protected well. The offensive line did not give up a sack on the day. We got 5 sacks on defense, which, had been problematic, especially with playing a little bit light without Floyd out there. And, I thought Willie Young had a good day as far as pressuring the quarterback. There were some good things anytime in the NFL, though. It comes down to who has the ball last, and unfortunately we came up short.
And that's where that finishing thing comes, and that's still a process to learn how to finish as a team.
Yeah, I think, and some of it was self-inflicted. Our first 2 trips in the red area, we come right away with 2 field goals and very easily could have had 2 touchdowns. We had a costly holding penalty and as well as a face mask penalty inside the 5-yard line in both cases.
So when you go out there and you try and, as a player, to play perfect football, it's never attainable, obviously. But, you got to look yourselves in the mirror a little bit at the mental errors and those penalties. Some of them are mental, some are physical, but those are the ones that bite you. To see, to take 1 step forward, to take 2 steps back on drives, that's where the lack of points come from, right?
Yeah, I think, we've made a lot of progress offensively as far as moving the ball, controlling the ball, time of possession, a lot of things that bit us early. Now we have to finish with scores. I think we've moved into the top 10 offensively, but, we're still 30th in points, and that's what wins games.
What do you hear back from the players? You talk to them a lot. What do they tell you?
Well, they see the same things. I think, you got to get it to the point where you are close. We won a close game the week before against Detroit here. We go on the road, hostile environment, getting great fan support. Our fans were awesome. I think it comes down to 3 or 4 plays, and those are the differences in those close losses, and that was a close loss on Sunday.
One thing about you, you mentioned the Meredith fumble. I thought what was impressive, even from a quarterback point of view, or maybe Dowell calling the snap, was to go right back to Cam the very next series on an out route, makes the catch, steps out of bounds, and all's forgotten at the moment. Not every quarterback's willing to do that, and not every coordinator's willing to test that again in a key moment in the game. How important is that? And do you think that way? Like I just thought that.
Yeah, I think you got to have confidence. You got to have confidence in the players, and players have to have confidence in the play caller. And you have to go back. It's those things happen. Unfortunately, it cost us 3 points, which was actually pretty good by the defense to hold it to 3, because it made it a reachable game, albeit we didn't get down there and score. But you know, I think everybody in that locker room has confidence in Cam, and we'll move him forward, and the coaches are no different.
Efficient comes to mind again for a second consecutive week when I think of Brian. Well, let's just say every time he's been in there, just the efficiency of it, the protecting the football. Like you said, no sacks yesterday, but at some point in that fourth quarter, I turned to Tom Thayer. They got over 500 yards of offense. I mean, that's exceptional. I mean, that's moving the football. I don't care who's playing defense. I mean, that's really good. So Brian Hoyer's performance, I mean, that really is something to build on here, right?
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, he played well enough for us to win. I'm sure there's a few plays he'd like to have back, just like all of us. But, you know, at the end of the day, we are making progress, and now we just have to be able to close out a win.
You were peppered with questions about it again today, the quarterback situation. I mean, you've been pretty clear. I don't think there's anything you can derive other than what you said. You know, you do go with hot hands, and right now you got a quarterback who's injured.
Exactly. You know, I think right now nothing's changed.
Point.
You know, we've got you know, again, it's part of the process. I get it. But, you know, right now, Brian Hoyer is the quarterback, and Matt Barkley's the backup, and Jay Cutler's injured.
Yeah, it's a position that gains that kind of attention, obviously.
Yeah,
not
no
just
doubt.
Here. It's all over the national TV today.
Yeah, that's part of the Zagun process.
All right. We've got the Alshon Jeffrey performance yesterday. Obviously, he wasn't a major part of the targets anyway early in the game, but you sure see his weaponry added to the mix when you do get to him and open things up a little bit, despite moving the ball around to seven different receivers yesterday. It's how they defend him as well. Is it hard to keep a guy who thinks he's a big dog in this picture happy when that kind of production isn't going to him at every snap?
Well, I think real happy happens when you're in that locker room and you've just had a victory. You know, I think at the end of the day, that's what makes everybody happy. You know, Alshon always, you know, I'm sure like all of us were frustrated that we didn't win the game. But, you know, he's a good teammate, and he just wants to win. And he helped us get close to it. I mean, he had good production, and I think he averaged 15 yards a catch, and you know, made some big plays. And you know, no doubt, wish we could have found him maybe on that last one.
Absolutely. I mean, that's something being talked about too. But again, those things do occur.
Yeah, I think you know, I don't think there's been too many perfect games played, and yesterday definitely wasn't one of them. So. I think everybody will learn from it. We've got some new guys out there. We've had a lot of shuffling even through the first five games of the season, whether it's been quarterback, wide receiver, running back, offensive line, defensive line. So there's been a few of them. But these guys, they're battling, and they're continuing to work to get better.
On that play, one more thing about that play. I frankly was shocked that the safety in that position was not staying on Alshon's side of the field and moving him as he did, you know, right before the snap. So, I mean, they rolled the dice defensively on that one.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, it's, you know, there's
it
not
worked.
Perfect execution all the time. It, on that particular case, it worked.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
Snap is back to Hoyer. Looks right, looks left. Throwing open. Howard breaks a tackle. 15-10. Five. End zone. Touchdown. Touchdown, Bears. Jordan Howard for the lead.
21 yards, his first NFL touchdown, and Jordan Howard is our Xfinity Player of the Game, brought to you by Xfinity. Welcome back to the Bears Coaches Show with John Fox. Yeah, we can talk all day about his hard running when he gets the ball in the belly, but he's shown he's got some good hands too, and also does the same thing. He breaks tackles. He rarely just goes down on first contact. That play had to be a thrill for him and for you for his first NFL touchdown.
Yeah, no doubt. He showed good feel, you know, presence as far as where to slide to the you know, the open area, and did a good job, and then bolted into the end zone. And, you know, he did a good job not just running, as you mentioned, Jeff, but also in protection. We had a lot of chips designed in protection, and he did a terrific job.
Does everything physically.
Yeah,
physically,
no
very, you know, throwing shoulders here and there, both on those chips and finishing runs, and in the open field, you know, you're really going to have to knock him back to put him down to the ground. I'd imagine that's one of the key parts of his game that you love. Now, I know you've talked about it a lot now every week. Hey, tell us about this Jordan Howard. You thought maybe he was faster than you guys thought back at training camp. Are you seeing some more elements of his game that are somewhat surprising to you, given that he's only started two NFL games?
Well, I think his ability to make guys miss and get yards after contact, you know, I think are the most impressive things, because in this league, you're not going to outrun a whole lot of people. You know, there's a lot of speed on the field, and but he picks and, you know, monitors his way through traffic and does it very, very well.
And he says it almost every time verbatim when the media ask him with great surprise, you know, hey, how'd you do that? He goes, I have confidence in myself. Always have confidence in myself. That's probably the first thing he says almost every single time.
Yeah, I think, you know, anytime you have young players and, you know, their whole dream has been to, you know, play at this level and play in the National Football League and, you know, to finally get that opportunity and then all of a sudden, you know, have success, of course, it gives you great confidence.
Now, let's go on the defensive side of the ball. We have rarely touched on it so far in this show tonight. So we start with the sacks. We start with Willie Young. He had three. Honestly, he probably could have had a couple more, and he helped Bullard get his sack, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think, you know, Willie had a big game. We challenged him. It was going to be a big part of our game plan to try to corral Andrew Luck. And I think in the second half we did a better job than we did in the first half. But as far as containing the quarterback, because he was able to scramble around and make some big plays, which, you know, he historically has done, you know, whether it's been this year or in years past. So I thought Willie had a very good game.
Uh-oh, moment. First snap, though, 12-yard scramble. I mean, if that was going to be your kind of day, I bet as the head coach, you're sitting there thinking, oh, no, we cannot let that happen.
Yeah, we actually had a pretty decent game. It wasn't totally perfectly executed, but yeah, it was pretty tight, and he did slip up there right off the bat pretty early.
When you said challenge, you challenged them. Did you challenge them, meaning the whole defense, or did you challenge Willie Young to have the type of game he had?
No, just our rush
in
element.
General.
Yeah,
okay.
Just in general. And, you know, we had some breakdowns, but, you know, all in all, it was, you know, it was almost good enough to win.
All right, third down. So I know I broke this down on the TV show last night, the three big third downs he converted, third and 12, third and 14, third and 11. The third and 14, 8 seconds. Can you realistically cover anybody in this league for 8 seconds?
That makes it difficult.
That's a mirror. I mean, that's tough.
Yeah, they were talking about that last night's game.
Yes, you know, with Aaron.
Yeah, and so, you know, we've seen it before, you know, playing him twice a year. It keeps you in check. But, you know, it's part of what you have to do when you play those types of quarterbacks.
And what do you tell your guys, especially young guys like LeBlanc and Callahan, who are in those situations that they have to plaster coverage for that amount of time on those deep, long out routes that take time to develop and so forth?
Yeah, I think they got Tracy on one down their sideline as well. So, you know, it's – you know, it's part of when you have the best in the world of what you do. And so, you know, Andrew's pretty good at it, and we came up a little short.
Bears did make some roster moves this evening. Demontre Hurst waived, and Devontae Bosby, who we saw in training camp as another young, exciting player, moving up on the roster. So tell us about him a little bit.
Well, he's long. He's got, you know, he's pretty much new to our system. We had him around last year, and I think he's been practicing well, and, you know, he's earned the opportunity to get that chance.
That conveyor belt of young DBs. Bryce Callahan had to leave the game yesterday. We'll know more later in the week. Practice squad addition, another tight end, Marcel Jensen. And to the injured list, Busta Anderson and Darius Jennings, a wide receiver. Where's he from and what's he all about?
Yeah, I think, you know, we're taking a look at those guys. That we need some depth at receiver with the Kevin White injury, just from numbers as far as practice. Busta got hurt last week, and that's why we signed Marcel.
Now, more of the Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
Side step to the pocket, taps the ball, going to the end zone. He's got Meredith up in the air, leaping catch. No indication. Now they say he's in. Touchdown. Touchdown, Bears. And Cameron Meredith backing up as he leaped for the catch. And the Bears are an extra point away from tying the game.
That's Cam Meredith's first touchdown in the NFL, and it was a beauty on a great throw by Brian Hoyer. As we welcome you back to the Bears Coaches Show here at the PNC Studios at Hallis Hall, featuring head coach John Fox, I think people should understand just how difficult it is to project a player like this who played really 1 year of college receiver. He did it at a very nice level at Illinois State, and then is an undrafted player by the Bears and has to learn the position at the NFL level. So really he's played receiver for less than 3 years, 2 years and 5 games of his life. And he had 9 catches for 130 yards and a touchdown. It was a key factor in the Bears being in this thing and a chance to win it. Put that in context and perspective for a former quarterback to do that.
Yeah, I think, you know, again, it takes a lot of hard work, and Cam's not afraid to work. He's done a terrific job, but he got some play time last year as we got, you know, dinged up by some injuries. You know, so we thought he had a future, and he came back in great shape. You know, he was very patient early in camp, but didn't get as many opportunities, and we called on him in a big way yesterday. And I think, you know, on that particular play that you called there on the radio, it was a double move, and he executed it perfectly, and Brian floated a great throw to him.
All right, double move, corner slip, boom, done. But even after the cornerback, he did recover and put his hands up. He had to make sure he held onto that football all the way down to the ground, which he did. But I don't know, it kind of just blows me away. It's not like everybody can just step into the NFL, oh, I'm going to try a new position, and then in week five of the 2016 season, I'm going to catch nine balls for 130 yards and score a touchdown.
Yeah,
seriously, it kind of blows my mind.
Yeah, I don't think anybody was expecting that kind of production. But, you know, again, you don't always know how your opponent's going to play you. And, you know, they spent a lot of effort over on Alshon's side, which did open up some things for Cam. And, you know, I think Brian and Cam executed pretty well on the day.
Well, that's the other part of it, is that Brian, you know, put the ball in a position where he can make some plays, too. So Brian gets a lot of credit for this. He threw some very accurate throws.
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts in the passing game for sure, and obviously the precision and timing of the quarterback and receiver are very critical.
What's your strategy on guys who give it up? What do you do? How do you get it out of their repertoire a little bit when they fumble?
Well, I think, you know, he's fumbled three times, you know, just here of late. And we definitely got to get that cleaned up. You know, we have a ball security drill we do every day, and I think he'll be through the gauntlet quite a few times this week.
Okay, it's on to Jacksonville. Well, before we do that, though, Pernell McPhee, Marquise Wilson, just so everybody understands, they can't play this week, but they can start practicing if you choose a 21-day window on Friday, right? That's the first day of potentially doing it?
Yeah, only because, you know, next week's game, you know, following the Jacksonville game is a Thursday night game in Green Bay. So that moves up that window a little bit as far as potentially starting the 21 days. But they're not eligible to play till the Green Bay game.
Are you optimistic on where they're at?
Yeah, I think so. We're, you know, we'll look at it kind of, you know, like I said, whether we put them out there on Friday or not. You know, we haven't made that decision. We've got, you know, time till Friday to evaluate that. And but, you know, they're both guys that, you know, we would love to have available.
And given Kevin White's situation, you were asked about it today, just so those who didn't know about it, hear about it, Bears fans, he is going to have surgery, correct?
Yes.
So where does that leave him?
Well, I think, again, I think they feel better about the recovery process on with a surgery on the fibula than they do just letting it heal naturally. And I think he's going to be having that surgery, I think, as early as tomorrow. I don't know exact time yet, but so we can start that healing process. And, you know, then it'll be, you know, it might be 8 to 10 weeks. You know, you don't really know what the exactly timeline is, but it is before the season ends.
Right. So there's theoretically a possible way, but you don't deal in those kind of concepts, of course. But,
yeah.
I mean, there is a possibility, if you so choose and he's ready to go, that he could be in there some point in December.
No doubt.
And do you value that even if it's a couple games?
Well, I think if, you know, it depends on where his health is and how good a football shape he's in. I mean, there's a lot of variables involved in that.
Jacksonville, you saw him certainly on tape when you were preparing for the Lions. So you got a glimpse of Blake Bortles and those guys and their defense that they invested a lot in, both in draft picks and money. Give us an overall view of this Jacksonville team coming in off the bye.
Well, I think they lean a little bit more on their defense. I think that's where they, you know, rank highest at this point, you know, in the NFL season, which is still early. But they do have a lot of high picks over there, and they've invested a lot in that. You know, I think, you know, offensively, they've done a pretty good job. They were able to score 30 points against Indianapolis over in London, and they've had some time to get rested.
Two backs in a vertical passing attack with a young quarterback who's got an arm that can do some damage. He's also been prone to some picks, but is that pretty much their offense right now?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, they do want to run the ball and play defense. You know, they're solid in the kicking game. I think, you know, they've been involved in some close games as well, and it should be a stiff test.
All right, John, thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
That's Bears head coach John Fox. Coming up next, Jay Rogers, the Bears veteran defensive line coach.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox, and this hour featuring defensive line coach Jay Rogers. Brought to you by Verizon, North Shore University Health System, United Airlines, and Miller Lite. Once again, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
Bears are blitzing. Luck ready to throw. He's in trouble. Wrapped up. And down he goes. Sacked again. It's Willie Young. Three sacks today for Willie Young, the fisherman, going in with another catch.
Five overall of Andrew Luck in the Bears' loss to Indianapolis. Welcome back to the program here at PNC Studios at Hallis Hall. Joined now by Jay Rogers, the Bears' defensive line coach. Good evening. How you doing?
Great. How you doing?
A little bit of a grin there, huh? Yeah. You like those sacks?
No doubt.
John said moments before you were here, said that he really challenged the guys, especially the guys up front, to put the pressure on Andrew Luck. And, you know, you always want more. You probably could have had more. Willie could have had more yesterday, even as you look at the tape.
Hey, you want to have 10 sacks. I mean, that's the goal, but that's not realistic. So
you ever had a game where you had 10 sacks?
No, I never have.
Ever?
But why not shoot for perfection, you know?
Right, exactly.
But, no, they did some good things out there. Of course, you think you can get there every single time. They got good players, too. So we just try to pick our spots and get after them when we can.
You guys, with the pressure that you're trying to create, it's probably game plan is unique to every team, obviously, and the type of quarterbacks you're playing. But not blitzing as much. Vic Fangio's not blitzing as much as maybe others might have thought he would have. But you got a young secondary. You got a team that has not had a lot of continuity. New lineups every week. Are you trying different things? Are you doing more games and stunts? Are you trying to do it that way, or you're just a good old-fashioned beat your man?
Well, each game's a different game plan. Sometimes you're blitzing, sometimes you're not. Whatever it takes to win that game is what you got to be able to execute. Against Andrew Luck, we knew this guy's a good quarterback. We're going to need some coverage guys back there. So they put a premium on being able to contain this guy in the scrambles, make sure he doesn't get out of the pocket, and be able to apply four-man pressure so we can have guys attached to wide receivers.
Yeah, and in some cases, they had to attach for quite a while, unfortunately. But Andrew Luck is fantastic moving in and around the pocket. And if you don't keep him contained, and it's a great, you know, it's funny. When I watched the game and then I watched the tape again on the way home last night from Indy, I know it's the same number, but he has a lot of Aaron Rodgers type movement. Yeah, agree or disagree?
He's different than Aaron because this guy is a big man.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Andrew Luck. Aaron is very swift with his feet, and so he avoids a lot of things, gets out of the pocket, buys time. Andrew is just a very difficult guy to bring down. So even when you do rush well and you get hands on the guy, it's hard to bring him down. So it takes more than just one guy to get there to bring this guy down. And there were even a couple sacks, if you looked at the game again, that it just wasn't a clean hit tackle. You got to have two guys there or three guys there. It's got to be collective effort, but both guys are very unique in what they do. They create problems for defenses, but yesterday was Andrew Luck's turn.
Yeah, I tell you, the quarterbacks aren't getting smaller. In some cases, yeah, maybe there's a nifty speed guys coming out of college, but you know, they're coming in 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", big, a lot of these guys, you know, from Jameis Winston, obviously Big Ben is who he is, Flacco, this guy. Blake Bortles is no small guy either.
They're big and they're athletic.
Yeah.
And so you take that two combinations of type of guy and you got to find ways to get more guys around him. You know, push the pocket up the middle, have great elusive speed on the outside, power when you can power, slip guys when you can slip guys, but you got to have more than one guy around him.
The Bears Coaches Show with defensive line coach Jay Rogers and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
To see how close we are, it's a lot of motivation to see that maybe we could just avoid having this mistake, this offside penalty, this drop ball. You know what I'm saying? If we could eliminate that, then we come away victorious. But that's one of the keys to winning the games, you know?
That's Willie Young earlier today here at Hallis Hall, breaking down the Bears' loss to the Colts and talking about just, as a matter of fact, how close the Bears are to busting into that win column and being more of a winning team than what has transpired so far. Here with Jay Rogers, the Bears' defensive line coach, and I guess that was the message he took away from John Fox today at the team meeting. Would you say that's pretty much on cue?
Exactly. It's close. And then Coach Fox showed a bunch of plays on where it was close and the things we got to do a little bit better to get the result a little bit better.
And if you weren't able to put that in front of your guys, you'd be worried, right?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, you want to show the plays that our good plays and praise him for the good plays they had. But you also want to show the plays that if we had just done a little bit more, it may be a different outcome. So you got to be able to take those plays, correct them, and move forward.
So do you then? Do you have positional meetings today too?
Yes, yeah, so we'll work it over through the game as a group, as a unit, and then we'll get together individually and just talk about each individual thing that each guy could do a little bit more in order to get a better result.
As an assistant and you're the position coach, what's your tone typically? Are you pretty consistent win or lose, or how are you as a...
I try to be as consistent as I possibly can. You know, I'd like to say is if you win a game, if you lose a game, that grade is always the same. You know, sometimes coaches have a tendency to grade hard when on a bad game and grade really well on a good game, but you really want to be consistent with what you're teaching the kids, and then being able to see that on tape. Are we executing it the right way?
I've seen you fiery, you know, in your coaching at times. Are you fiery in that room too, or is the field your release in the room is more professorial?
If I need to be, I can be, you know. But you know, when we're out there, you want to apply as much pressure as you possibly can on and off the field to get guys to think when they're under pressure, because we can't do that in a game time. I mean, they're out there on the field, and you got to put them through scenarios throughout the course of the week to have them feel that pressure that you have to execute on this particular play. That's how you get good. So we'll put some pressure on them in many different ways. Maybe a call, maybe a test. You know, maybe I'll get them up on a board, put pressure on them to perform in front of their peers.
Now, I'm thinking they don't love that part.
No, of course
not. Just like any kid, right? They wouldn't love getting on the board in front of everybody.
No, nobody.
Now you're exposing yourself. You could be vulnerable if you didn't do your work.
Any time that you teach, you know, I think it's important that you have your peers watch you work. Because I think at the end of the day, if they know that you got your stuff right, they're going to feel confident that you're going to do your job. And then if each individual guy can do their job, then as a result, it becomes a good outcome.
Is it interactive?
No doubt. I interact with my players all the time, ask them questions. What's your tips here? We always talk in our meetings when we get into those individual meetings. Now, when you're installing a little bit with Coach Fangio and he's starting to talk about the defense and little different things that the offense is doing to our defense, then that's a different kind of meeting. But we interact as much as we possibly can when we're just in our room, because when Coach Fangio is talking, he's talking to a wider group of people, not just the defensive line or not just the secondary. It may be the entire defense.
Based on who's saying it, maybe it's a vet versus a first or second year player who haven't had as much experience, have you altered how you teach technique or a certain fundamental or a certain style based on what they give back to you and say, Coach, listen, I like to do it this way. What would you think? I mean, are you pretty firm? You are answering, obviously, to Vic Fangio and John Fox.
There's a structure and a standard by which we play defense, especially at the defensive line. And it's my job to teach them exactly what their responsibility is. Now, saying that, each individual guy has traits. Some guys are big, strong guys. Some guys are fast, twitchy guys. And what you have to do is say, this is what your responsibility is. This is how you get it done. Now, with your traits, you could possibly do this with your hand placement, do this with your footwork. That may be a little bit different than another guy. So you try to tailor as much as you possibly can to each individual guy, but you never want to go outside the structure of what we're trying to do on defense.
The addition of Akeem Hicks, big personality, very excitable guy. What's that done to the room?
It's been great. He's been a great addition to the entire group. You know, big guy, strong guy. You know, he's done a really good job right there on our left side for both base and our nickel personnel. And his addition has just brought another guy into the program that's been a part of winning organizations. And we need as many of those guys as we can get.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox continues exclusively on the home of the Bears. News Radio on 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Welcome back to the program as we have one final segment with Jay Rogers. Then we'll hear from John Fox here in a moment. And if you're coming to either of the next two Bears home games, check out the Miller Lite Chicago Bears Ultimate Tailgate brought to you by Chicago Tribune Sports Plus, starting 2.5 hours before kickoff right outside of Soldier Field. And join Bears Care in raising funds for programs supporting Chicago area breast cancer patients and their families. Purchase your Real Bears Fans Wear pink shirt at chicagobears.com/pink. As we do with all of our assistant coaches on the program, we kind of rip through some of the guys and how they're coming along. The one that really broke my heart defensively this year was Eddie Goldman's injury. He's coming back, obviously, eventually here, but I just always felt that this was a big year for him, a star rising type of year, and he was playing well at that nose tackle position for you. How's he doing mentally, and you know, how do you expect him to return?
No, he'll return when he's ready to return, and mentally we've been keeping him involved. You know, he does a project for us every single week, just like he does when he was playing. So mentally, each guy in our room has a project to do, whether it be study this guy, whether it be stances and splits and rush tendencies, all these different things that we try to put together as a group, and he's got his part too. So, and then I'll give him a test at the end of the week as well, even though he may or may not play. So I'm keeping him mentally sharp. And so when he is ready to practice, he doesn't skip a beat.
And these projects, are they presented to the room?
Yes, just to our room.
Yeah.
Just we'll have meetings in the morning, and then we'll do some installation as an individual group. And in the afternoon, we'll watch practice as an entire defense. And then we'll get together for another 45 minutes to an hour. And depending on how much time we have is when we'll start getting those projects together and guys start talking to each other on, this guy likes this. This guy is not very good at doing this. Hey, if you see this split, you see this, whatever the tip may be, we talk about it so everybody's on the same page, because now it could help us figure out what people are doing to us.
Will Sutton has filled in two totally different size guys. You get something different out of each. How's Will handled it?
Will's done a great job. And, you know, he came in there and he battles his tail off every single week. He is very accountable, very smart, knows exactly what to do, helps everybody across the board, and has made some plays in some critical situations this year. He played really well last week, and then he also has a lot of really good snaps versus Indianapolis, and you know, he keeps on getting better and better and better, and he does a great job in that role.
Cornelius Washington is in the rotation, a guy that has had weight fluctuation for different positions and schemes throughout his Bears career, which I'm sure that's been frustrating for him. He'd like to settle into one thing. He feels good at this size, at this time. Are you getting the benefits of that?
I think we are. You know, I still think he's growing. And I'm not talking about size-wise. I'm just talking about fitting into the 3-4 scheme. And so he is a big athletic guy who has traits. And he is a mismatch on some of the bigger, stiffer offensive linemen in the National Football League. And so when you match him up on guys like that, his ability, really, you get to see a lot more of it. And so he is just now starting to rise where I think he can get to. But he has the potential of being a really good player.
All right, only a couple seconds, but Mitch Unrein, that's just pure lunch pail.
He's a blue-collar guy, no doubt.
All right, Jay Rogers, thanks for joining us. Jacksonville Jaguars and a guy he coached with the Denver Broncos, Malik Jackson, awaiting Malik Jackson, a big money contract this year for the Jags. Earlier tonight in our first segment, John Fox on his takeaways from yesterday's game against the Colts.
Yeah, obviously that loss stings, but, there were some good developments, and I think ones we can learn from.
I said this last night on Bears Game Night Live on Fox. I was asked about it, you know, how frustrating it all is. But in my opinion, better to be in it with a chance to win it on the final drive than not to have that opportunity at all. Because whether people want to hear it or not, and I know it's 1-4 and it doesn't feel good, but every situation like that, this young team is learning from somehow, some way that will benefit you some point.
Well, no doubt. I think, all those are learning experiences, and albeit some of them are hard to take. I think we're getting better for it slowly but surely.
Yeah, despite that loss, I mean, there's a lot of good things to talk about, and I'm sure you had something similar to tell your team today. It's not just that L. I know that that's the part that people want to focus on, and certainly that's what we're trying to do here is win, but there are signs of progress all over the place. Can you pinpoint some?
Yeah, I think you look at Cam Meredith stepping in, for the Kevin White injury. I think he had a good outing, albeit, he played good for 63 plays. That 64th play, the fumble obviously stings a bit. Put 3 points on the board and, made us need to have a touchdown to go down and win the game. And unfortunately, that came up short. You look at Jordan Howard, he had a good day, had some explosive runs. I think, he protected well. The offensive line did not give up a sack on the day. We got 5 sacks on defense. Which, had been problematic, especially with playing a little bit light without Floyd out there. And, I thought Willie Young had a good day as far as pressuring the quarterback. But, there were some good things anytime in the NFL, though. It comes down to who has the ball last, and unfortunately we came up short.
And that's where that finishing thing comes, and that's still a process to learn how to finish as a team.
Yeah, I think, and some of it was self-inflicted. Our first 2 trips in the red area, we come right away with 2 field goals and very easily could have had 2 touchdowns. We had a costly holding penalty and as well as a face mask penalty inside the 5-yard line, both cases.
So when you go out there and you try and as a player to play perfect football, it's never attainable, obviously, but you got to look yourselves in the mirror a little bit at the mental errors and those penalties. Some of them are mental, some are physical, but those are the ones that bite you. To see, to take 1 step forward or take 2 steps back on drives, that's where the lack of points come from, right?
Yeah, I think we've made a lot of progress offensively as far as moving the ball, controlling the ball, time of possession, a lot of things that bit us early. Now we have to finish with scores. I think we've moved into the top 10 offensively, but we're still 30th in points, and that's what wins games.
What do you hear back from the players? You talk to them a lot. What do they tell you?
Well, they see the same things. I think, you got to get it to the point where you are close. We won a close game the week before against Detroit here. We go on the road, a hostile environment. Again, great fan support. Our fans were awesome. I think it comes down to 3 or 4 plays, and those are the differences in those close losses, and that was a close loss on Sunday.
One thing about you, you mentioned the Meredith fumble. I thought what was impressive, even from a quarterback point of view, or maybe Dow calling the snap, was to go right back to Cam the very next series on an out route, makes the catch, steps out of bounds, and all's forgotten at the moment. Not every quarterback's willing to do that, and not every coordinator's willing to test that again in a key moment in the game. How important is that, and do you think that way, like I just thought that?
Yeah, I think you got to have confidence. You got to have confidence in the players, and players have to have confidence in the play caller, and you have to go back. It's those things happen. Unfortunately, it cost us 3 points, which was actually pretty good by the defense to hold it to 3 because it made it a reachable game, albeit we didn't get down there and score. But, I think everybody in that locker room has confidence in Cam, and we'll move him forward, and the coaches are no different.
All right, that's John Fox. Sunday's Jaguars-Bears game brought to you by Jewel Osco. The first 40,000 fans to enter Soldier Field receive a Bears sweatband courtesy of Jewel Osco. For Coach Fox and Coach Rogers, thanks to Greg Miller, Andy Gersher, and Rob Hart. Bears and Jaguars, pregame at 9, kickoff at noon on Sunday. This is News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM. Good night, everybody.